welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 25 for December the 3rd, 2013. I'm your host, Jack. Please check out our website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can go ahead and comment on these shows. If you have any questions or ideas for future shows, please email those in to me. You can send those to jackstechcorner@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, and that is @technoman. And if you'd like to, please sign up for our newsletters, and you can do that also at Tips from the Server Room. First, I received two really great emails, and unfortunately, like many of you out there, many systems admins, how much email we do receive on a daily basis, I did actually lose one of them. I did read it. It was an email concerning shows from a systems admin out there that he listens to the shows. I appreciate you writing in. And he talked about trying to go back. He said we get really techie on this show. And we do get really in-depth on this show occasionally. It's kind of what I built it for. I built it to give you more of an insight into your server rooms and your networks and ways to control things. We talked about cooling. We talked about battery backups on this show and all kind of different things. He was asking Ashley if I can scale it back someday. We can talk a little bit about maybe some Active Directory stuff, some permission stuff. We'll talk about that in some future shows, and I'll bring that to you. Also, I do want to mention a gentleman by the name of Peter. And Peter sent me some really nice comments back on the, I believe, on the YouTube videos. And if a lot of you have noticed, these shows now, I don't produce these and put these on YouTube anymore. They didn't get a lot of viewership or a lot of viewers on these particular shows. So instead, I feel that it does a lot better as a podcast. And I received another very nice comment this week from a gentleman there, and I appreciate it, stating that you do copy all these shows, you download them, and you put them on your iPhone, and you listen to them in your car. And folks, I listen to a lot of podcasts myself because being a broadcaster, we listen to other people's shows too. We're not one-sided. I never wanted to be, you know, like, it's one thing for me to help you and kind of pay it forward based on my knowledge and be able to give you some of that knowledge. But I tell everybody out there, you can also pay it forward. In other words, use your talents and your skills and teach other people what you know. You know, this is not a closed society by any means. We don't want to be a systems admin out there and sit and say, I know it all. I knew a guy that used to work at one time for a company where I worked, and he no longer works there, of course, but he felt if he maintained all the passcodes and the passwords and kept everything to himself, they could never, ever let him go. Well, he was let go anyway because of some other issues, and all that stuff had to be recreated anyway and figured out. So by all means, don't hold it to yourself. Pay it forward. Let other people know what you know. It's not a bad thing. It's really a decent thing to do, I think, in the long run. So folks, tonight we're going to talk about some monitoring of your servers and some ways that you can keep track of what's going on those servers with some built-in tools in Windows Server. Now, these tools have been around for quite some time, so you can find them on your Windows Server 2008. Tonight for this particular show, I am looking at Windows Server 2012, but these tools are available to you. And they're two very basic tools to help you guide yourself along and find out issues you might be having with the server if you're taking performance hits or if the resources seem to be sucking themselves dry. And you're like, where is that going? What's going on? What's happening with my server? We have to use these tools and be, you know, use a little detective work. Now, these tools, folks, are in the administrative tools, the administrator tools. You'll find these, and they're two very reliable tools we're going to talk about this evening. The first one is called the Performance Monitor, And the second one we're going to talk about is the resource monitor. So let's get underway with these tools. So when you open up Performance Monitor, what it's going to do, it's actually a live view of what's going on with your server. The first thing you're going to notice is there's going to be a line going across. There's 100% usage on the left, and then a timeline on the bottom. Now, the reason that timeline is there is because you're able to record this stuff and come back and pull these reports later and say, well, let me see what's happening between 8 o'clock in the morning and 3 p.m. Or if you're looking, you're thinking, well, this happened to us before on a file server. We started getting big hits. I mean, very big hits where the performance was starting to really, really drop out. And what I mean by that is you'll start to have users saying, well, I went to open up a Word document from the server, and it took a long time for that Word document to open across the network. Now, there could be many, many things going on with that, but the first thing we like to do is go to the server, and we want to find out on that server if the server itself is taking a performance hit at any given time. Now, first of all, you have to start a basic plan. Okay, a lot of times we use a whiteboard on the wall in our server room, and we get a phone call. We'll get a phone call, let's say, at 1 p.m., and they'll say, Jack, it seems like it's taking a long time to pull my files up. And I say, okay, well, we're going to check into that. And then maybe 2 days later, you get a call at 1 p.m. Jack, it's happening again. We're starting to get we're trying to open up a file, just a Word document on the server, and it's taking a big performance hit. It's just not opening up as fast as it did before. Or in the morning, it opens up faster, and then they think, well, is the server getting tired? And, you know, your users are going to have all kind of stuff out there that they're going to tell you, and you're going to be scratching your head going, wow, what is going on with this server? So you need to go into your performance monitor. And when you get into your performance monitor, there is a little plus sign right above the graph, and it'll say add. If you click on that add button, it has a whole lot of different stuff you can add to your performance monitor to see exactly what's going on. And if we scroll through and you just look at server, and on that server itself, there's all kind of stuff on there. It says blocked request, blocking request rejected, bytes received per second, bytes total. And if you click on that bytes received, you click on add, and click OK, it's going to add that to your performance monitor. It's going to give it a new color code on that actual graph. What I like to do, first of all, is if you start unchecking where it says show and get rid of everything else in there, the reason we want to do this so we can concentrate on one thing. Because, folks, I've been doing this a long time, and I really believe that if the graph is too full, what tends to happen is you can't really tell what's going on, even though they color code themselves and you think, well, that's great. So I'm going to click on bytes received. And when I do that, I'm going to actually look at the chart and try to find out if anything is actually spiking off the charts. So I'm looking at line and I'm just looking for anything where it's starting to spike. And the 0 to 100% on the left is the percentage of usage. So if that starts to spike above 60%, 70%, you're going to go, wow, there's a lot of usage being bytes received. That will start telling you that there's a lot of information being received from that server, and then you can actually figure out what's happening and what time of day it is. Then we have to start drilling down and try to figure out where is that coming from, what computer on our network. Now, to do that, you would just go back into your available counters and you would just dig through the counters until you find what you want to actually base your new timeline on, so we can try to figure out what is actually happening out there. That's one way to check your files. Here's something else you might want to check, which seems to also be just as important. We talked about this in past shows, is the DNS and the DHCP. We can add those to our performance monitor. And what that's going to give you is the total amount of hits your DNS server is taking. So one thing we looked at was the files. So the files are moving and something's happening to those files. But let's say now that we changed it and we're thinking that maybe it's a DNS request. It's not hitting properly to make it to that file server. It doesn't know where to go because the DNS is getting overloaded. And we talked about the importance before of having a backup DNS server to kind of take some of that load off of your server and your DNS server and move it around a little bit. So that is our DNS. DHCP could be the same thing. We had this happen to us one time. We had folks trying to log in and nothing was happening. I think I talked about this on the DHCP show. And we found that what was happening is the requests were coming in, but there was no more IP addresses to hand out. So there was actually an issue there by not having enough IP addresses in our scope. So we had to add those. So again, the performance monitor though is showing you how much hits those are taking, especially like on DNS folks, it's big. Because if people's requests are starting to drop and you're losing packets, that DNS server can be overloaded and just can't handle the actual traffic that you're trying to send to it. And at that point, you would just go ahead and add another DNS server. Very simple. Now we have also under performance monitor, we have what's called data collection sets. Now what a data collection set is, you can actually set it. And if you, let's go back here a second. So under user defined, we have one in here called performance counters. If you right click on it and go to properties, these are the counters that it's going into that's going to be counting, such as memory, available kilobytes, processor time, data bits per second, private bytes, thread counts, and ID processors. And if you go to file, there's a log file name, and that is writing those into your log files. And I would rename that. The name this one's given this one is SNPERFMON. It's basically a bunch of initials for everything that you're counting. You'd be better off to rename that because when you go into your actually log files, you can find the file a lot easier if you know what the name of it is. And those log files will be found at your root directory, perf logs, it's PERF logs /admin. /server manager/ and then the log file name. This is a nice way where you can set these counters and forget it. So you can build this up and then you can walk away from it because you're not going to sit and monitor this thing to see when that's actually going to take place because who knows when a system spike is going to happen. So it's a nice way to actually set this up and have a data collection set. You can also go down to the very bottom of your list and use the reports. Again, there's user defined, and here we have a server manager performance monitor, and you can go down to properties of that, and we can set what we want the data to be. Maximum amount of disk space, you can check that, and that's free space. So if you think your server is falling below a certain free space level, you want to set that. Maximum number of folders, maybe you want to adjust that to say, look, we want to know, we want to report when we hit a maximum number of folders. Resource policies, you can add the maximum root path file or maximum root path size. And these can all build a report as an HTML file report. There's actions, and then there's rules that you can set. You can either import them or export your rule sets. That is going to help build a report for the System Management Performance Monitor. It's very easy to do. You just have to play around with it, get a feel for it, but it's going to save you a ton of time if your server is starting to take a dive. And remember, if you're using virtual servers, and I hope that you are, you know, because back in the day when we used physical servers, there was a little dilemma. If that server started getting really crushed, it was very time consuming, or you have to order more memory for it. You maybe have to buy a bigger server because you're basing everything on that physical box. Where if you're using VMware, and we use the ESXi server. We talked about that before. I go in, I can down the server and say, look, let's give it some more RAM. Maybe let's give it another CPU core, another CPU slot, and give it more performance without adding any hardware, because we're just adding virtual hardware. And a lot of times that is hard to wrap your head around, because virtual hardware, it can actually overtask your physical hardware, if that makes sense. In other words, you can have two processors in the server, and you can have four virtual servers, and every one of those can say it has two processors. But the way that the VMware handles the processing of those processors, it can allocate that power from those two processors to all four servers, and your run just fine. I always tell people, though, and it was hard for me, it took me years to really figure this out, but it's really better to have four individual servers. Let's say you're running four different SQL applications. It's better overall just to build four virtual servers and have those four separate SQL resources on one on each server, instead of having all four SQL databases on one server. And it's a lot better, because for resources, it's going to handle them resources better, and it's going to allocate that memory better to give everybody a better user experience. And I know, folks, that's what I do this for, and I hope that's why you're into technology, is to make sure the user has a better user experience. Okay, so that is an overview of the performance monitor. The next thing we're going to talk about is the resource monitor. Now, your resource monitor in the overview column, when you open this thing up, there's four different resources we're actually watching here. One is CPU. The next is disk. Then the next is network. And the last one is memory. If you look to the right, you have bar graphs that are following each one of these. And they're labeled CPU, disk, network, and memory. Now, the difference between this is the resource monitor is real time. So you're actually watching this. I've known some tech directors to actually put an extra monitor in their server room, and they leave their resource monitors open for their different servers. That way they can just get a quick peek every now and then to see what may be going on their servers and what might be happening on their network. So at that point there, the resource monitor covers CPU, disk, network, and memory. And again, remember, on the right-hand side is where we have our little bar graphs. So it's very easy to watch this stuff. Right now it's telling me my CPU on my little green graph is running at about 17 to 21% overall CPU usage. My disk I/O count, or input output count, is running about 4 kilobytes, because there's nothing actually happening on the server. This is a virtual server I'm using. There is zero network activity and zero hard disk faults at this time. Hard faults on the memory. Now, it'll tell you your total used maximum frequency for the CPU, the highest active time on the disk, network utilization on your network, and your used physical memory on your memory, to tell you how much physical memory is being used. If we click on any of these, it will open it up and it will show you what is using your CPU. It'll show you how many threads, the average CPU usage per process that's running. The disk is the same way. So the disk will tell us response times based on users, what the users are hitting, and you'll see in here, you will see your file shares in here when you're looking at this thing. So if somebody is having an issue and you can come in here and look at this file share, you may see an issue with the response time that's actually hitting for that actual user. If you open up the network tab, you have such things as the image of the network. You have different network services, like DNS is running, or LSASS is running. And it will tell you bytes received, bytes sent, and total bytes per second going across your network. Your memory, on your memory tab, it's going to show you what is using the most memory. How much memory is it using? This stuff is very important to keep an eye on. Now, when you go across the top of the tabs, we have individual tabs now. So that's the overview. You can go into the CPU tab. It shows you the processes, the services. So how much the processors are using, how much each service is using. And you can even go in there. What I like about these services on here, folks, if you don't know what it is, sometimes you'll look at a service and somebody writes these services, some company, and you're like, what is that service running? Especially if it's using a lot of CPU cycles. You can right-click on it and say search online. When you do that, it will go out and basically, you know, Microsoft will do a Bing search and it will search it and come back with what that service actually is. The next thing we have under CPUs, we have associated handles and associated modules, if any of those may be running. The next tab is our memory tab. The memory tab would tell you exactly what you would think it would tell you. It's going to tell you the process and how much actual memory it's using to take away from your overall memory structure. This is critical to watch because you know yourself, if your physical memory in your server or in a computer, in a workstation, gets too high of usage, it starts to degrade the overall performance of the server or computer, whatever you might be working on. So if you have something in here and you say, wow, that service or that process is using a lot of memory, you want to know what that is. Again, if you right-click on it, you can go to suspend process and you can halt that process altogether. You can end the process tree. You can analyze it and wait. Or you can search online again to see what that actual process is. This is pretty critical to finding out because what's a PID? I mean, really, it's an ID, you know, based on the process, a processor ID. But with the number, do you really know what that service or process is? I know I don't. I don't have a clue what these mean. Let's go to disk. Again, disk is telling us our read-write speeds or bytes per second coming in, writes per second going out, and total bytes per second overall. And you can see exactly what those are processing. Your network connectivity, if you hit the little pull-down menus, it will give you the overall network connectivity based on things like process with network activity itself, and this third one is huge, TCP connections. A lot of times, if you think one of your machines on your network or actually something on your network, or you think this server, let's say this server, you think it might have some kind of spyware on it from somewhere, and you think it's processing and is sending TCP IP connections out at a very, very high rate of speed, what you could do is go in here and look, and you can actually see what the TCP IP connection is and kind of identify where it might be going. And then we can look down at the bottom here for listening ports. I like using this because a lot of times this will tell you if your firewall is set up properly because you can see what ports that server is listening on. And you can see its firewall status right at the end here to see if it allows it or if it disallows it. But if it's listening, it's probably allowed. And there's going to either be restricted or not restricted categories on those actual listening ports themselves. So that is the overall process of your resource monitor. It's huge to know how to use these tools, and it's a very good idea to be able to get in there and monitor your network and know how to monitor them. This is not something I would say to do 24 hours, 7 days a week. I'm not one of those people, as I talked about earlier, that puts the monitor up and watches all these bar graphs. Because at times they're going to spike. Servers do that. They do spike at times. It's nothing that you're going to lose sleep over or have a heart attack over or anything. It's just going to be that way. But also, if you can go into that resource, the monitor, and get in there and actually, let me just open this back up here again, and open your performance monitor back up, You can again set those reports up, and remember to set your data collector sets up, because a data collector set is set up initially, and then you can write your report based on that data collector set. Just like any other kind of SQL data that we collect or that we use, we first have to collect the data, and then we can write a report on it. But this kind of stuff is going to help you in the long run, folks, to take better care of your monitors, to take better care of your servers, and hopefully let you sleep better at night. That's why we want to do these shows, basically. Remember, we talked about that with backup. We talked about that with backup batteries. We talked about that with cooling of our server rooms. This stuff allows us to sleep a little bit more comfortable and not toss and turn all night and wonder, when you go to work in the morning, is your server still going to be running? You know, who knows? I mean, you know, you want to make sure they do. Well, folks, once again, I want to thank you so much for joining me here for these shows. Hopefully they're helping you and not confusing you. I know tonight's show could be a little confusing at times, but I want you to mainly get in there, use those two tools. The more you use this stuff, the more you're going to learn how to use it, and you're going to become more proficient at your job overall. You know, the biggest thing is I try to make our servers as proactive as they can be. I don't like receiving a phone call in the morning saying, Jack, I can't log into the server. I want to know that server is unavailable before the user calls me. And when that phone rings, I can pick it up and say, we're working on it. Thank you. And I hang up. I don't even have to ask them what's wrong, because I like to know before they know. So folks, thank you so much for joining the show here. If you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi 5.5, these are courses here, and they are courses from A to Z. So from installing to administrating. The VMware is from installing the VMware on a server to installing virtual machines. All that is there available for you. I want you to sign up for one of the online courses, and you can sign up for those at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Look at the very top of the page, and you'll see online classes. There's a link. Click on that. The courses are very much self-paced. I've had people in those courses now for the past year and a half, and they're still in there. Even they've earned their certificate, and I keep you on there because a lot of those folks come back, and they'll say, Jack, I had to rewatch that DNS video to learn how to establish my DNS server again and set up my scope and everything of my DHCPs. And they like to come back and watch the videos again. Once you complete the course, as I said, I'll mail your certificate. These are great for framing. Put them in your office. You know, it's great to have these things. A lot of companies are paying for these courses for folks, so it's available there for you. Once again, you can sign up today at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Always check it out and always look for new savings I have in there or a bargain. Right now we do have a holiday special in there, so we are saving you some money, so you might want to check that out. Other than that, folks, we are going to wrap it up here tonight. I want you to have a great work week, and I'll be back on here next Tuesday for another show. I don't know when you're pulling this down from the podcast. I do ask that you go to iTunes if you have a minute. Please comment on these shows. Please click the rating button there. Give it a little bit of ratings. That just moves us up in the iTunes category there that we're in under technology, so other people can find the shows and benefit from them also. Also spread the word and tell people that we're available. Tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Have them check out the website. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you back here next week for another Tips from the Server Room. Good night, and take care. Just listen to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.